A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. After Jesus had ascended into heaven, the apostles went back to Jerusalem, a short distance away, no more than a Sabbath walk. And when they reached the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. There were Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Jude son of James. All these joined in continuous prayer, together with several women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2. 3 days later, they found him in the temple, sitting among the doctors, listening to them and asking them questions. And all those who heard him were astounded at his intelligence and his replies. They were overcome when they saw this. And his mother said to him, "My child, why have you done this to us? See how worried your father and I have been looking for you." "Why were you looking for me?" he replied. "Did you not know that I must be busy with my father's affairs?" But they did not understand what he meant. He then went down with them and came to Nazareth, and lived under their authority. His mother stored up all these things in her heart. Mary was part of a small group of praying people, the early church. Today, the 7th of October, is celebrated as the Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary. There's a long tradition in the church, closely associated with the Dominican family, of honoring Mary, the mother of Jesus, by repeating mantra-like prayer, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you," etc., in her honor, while passing prayer beads through our fingers to count the prayers. There are many good things about this Christian practice. Doing it, we attempt to follow what Jesus and the New Testament writers many times advised us to do, to pray always. It's a way of praying, the rosary, that engages our body. We run the beads through our fingers, as well as our imagination. We reflect on scenes from the life of Jesus and his mother. At the same time, it leads us towards deeper levels of our being, silent contemplation, in friendship with Mary, who now lives fully in the mystery of the risen Christ, as we ourselves hope to do more and more. The liturgy for this feast offers us a range of readings to choose from. The two readings we have used here point out another way in which Mary is associated with constant prayer. She herself prayed constantly, as both Luke's Gospel and the Acts of the Apostles show us. 3 days after Jesus was murdered, his followers were aware of his presence among them. They saw him, received from him, and learned from him. But there came a day when he went from their sight, and they saw him no more. Then, according to Luke, the 11 remaining apostles and their friends regathered in Jerusalem in that upper room that was their temporary home. The book Acts of the Apostles tells us graphically how, with one heart, they joined constantly in prayer. The story especially mentions that they were a community of maybe 30 men and women, friends of Jesus, including his brothers, which probably means his cousins. The writer stresses that Mary was there, the only woman whose name is recorded on this occasion. The interesting thing for us is that these few people are the entire church, the only followers of Jesus who've remained faithful to him after he died and then risen. They're all gathered here waiting and praying, constantly, avidly praying with all their hearts, as they'd often seen Jesus do, as he had taught them to do. They kept at it until their prayer was answered and the Holy Spirit appeared intensely among them, filling them with courage and new life. It took a while, about 10 days. Luke's account says that the disciples last saw Jesus 40 days after his resurrection, and that the Holy Spirit came to them on the 50th day. That's what Pentecost means, the 50th day after Passover, after Easter Sunday. This interval may explain why we sometimes use a novena of prayer ourselves 9 days to ask for some special need. Not that praying intensely changes God's mind or storming heaven somehow earns us rewards. No way. We pray constantly and intently to show, or so that we might be changed. We might become more in touch with how God is present everywhere, all the time. Prayer shows us how to act for the true common good, rather than just for our self-interest. Mary was not just one of the group of those women and men who prayed the church into existence. She was at the heart of it. The scene in that upper room helps us to realize that Mary, a woman now about 50 years old, had been praying all her life. This is not just pious speculation. Luke explicitly tells us how she prayed. When still a teenage mother, just after she'd given birth to Jesus, those shepherds had come so unexpectedly with their weird story of angels singing in the sky, Luke carefully tells us that Mary treasured all these things in her heart. What's this except contemplative prayer, going over lovingly what God is doing through us? In the Gospel that we read today, just now, the scene shows us Mary when she's about 30. It's a painful incident when Jesus is 12 years old. He virtually ran away from his parents, and they, worried stiff, found him only 3 days later after immense anxiety and fear. Finding him wasn't the end of their confusion. He rebuked them for worrying about him. Didn't you know that I need to be here in my father's house about my father's business? What a child. Not yet a teenager, he's deeply into theology, holding his own among the best thinkers in the Jewish world. What will become of him? Luke is careful once again to tell us that Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Luke may well have heard this from Mary herself, how she contemplated, pondered the great mystery she was caught up in, looking at it this way and that as it slowly unfolded with all its wonder, its joy, and yes, sometimes its deep sorrow. This is exactly what we're invited to do in the traditional prayer that we call the Rosary of Mary, in those five joyful mysteries, sorrowful mysteries, and five glorious mysteries. In recent times, we've added the luminous or light-bearing mysteries, the baptism of Jesus, the wedding at Cana, where Jesus worked his first miracle, Jesus preaching the reign of God, his transfiguration on the mountain, his giving us the Eucharist the day before he died. So this Feast of Our Lady of the Rosary is about prayer, especially the prayer of Mary, the woman who prayed intensely all her life, who was present at Pentecost, the birth of the Christian Church. This day reminds us that we too are part of that people of God, part of their great unfolding story which goes on today, and can become more a part of it the more deeply we join with others in prayer.